All right, this morning we're finishing Mark chapter 12. So we're almost got through it, but I have a few more verses at the end, but I want to back up just a little bit to verse 38. And in his teaching, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplace. They have the best seats in the synagogue, the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasurer and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Amen. So the story is classically known as the widow's mite. Which sounds strange these days. I mean, the way we use that word is a small insect, and that isn't what they're talking about. But a mite in older English meant a small copper coin, and that is indeed what she put in. It's the smallest coin minted at the time, and she had two of them, and they don't really amount to very much financially. But Jesus sees things that other people don't see. I backed up because we want to see that contrast that Mark really puts right beside each other so we can't miss it. The scribes, in their pride and their hypocrisy, love the good seats and love to make a big show of their religion and all of that, but he says they devour widows' houses. And so he says that these hypocrites actually take advantage of the poor of the land and those who particularly are always marked out by God in his word for special protection because they had a particular need. Widows in this culture, you know, were fairly helpless. It was still a very man's world, and yet they can still be taken advantage of by those who should have been in the forefront of providing for them and protecting them. And then, so we move right to an account of a widow who's poor. We don't know if she's poor because of the antics of these scribes or not, but we're told that she's poor. The scene takes place, it says, by the treasury. This would be in the court of women. If you're all somewhat familiar with the temple, you really, there's a series of courts. You know, we go from the inner sanctum to the outer sanctum, you know, and then a number of courts. We were looking at part of this in the court of the Gentiles, where Jesus drives out the money changers. That's the outermost part of the temple. And as far as anyone who wasn't a Jew could come. And then past that, there's the court of women. And that's where this takes place. It's where these offering boxes were. They're called the shofar chests, sometimes translated as trumpet chests. Trumpet's not the greatest explanation of that. It's used throughout the scripture, but you've seen the shofar. It's a ram's horn that they would blow. And it really doesn't sound much like a trumpet. If you heard a ram's horn and if you heard a trumpet, you never mistake the two. You know, and think, oh, there's Maynard Ferguson playing the ram's horn. You know, that's, but the shofar chests is so called because they were shaped like that. So there's an opening that then went narrow down into a box. There were a number of these. And so we're told that the rich would come and drop their contributions in coins, you know, into this, and it probably made quite a bit of noise, which is exactly what they seem to have been looking for. So that you knew that they were dropping in lots of money. You've probably heard this sort of thing if you've ever been to, say, Giant Eagle, when someone brings in their coins for that Coinstar machine. You know, that's something like what this would sound like, because they were brass and this trumpet shape, and so when they drop in the coins, it makes a racket, and they can look around and make sure that everyone's taking notice of exactly what they're doing. because that's what matters. And then Jesus notices this poor woman, a widow. There's distinctive garb of a widow, probably a mourning sign, so she wasn't hard. She didn't need a big name tag, you know, poor widow. It would know instantly that she was a widow, and probably by her apparel could tell she was poor, but, you know, our Lord has amazing insight into people anyway. Even if there were no visible signs of this, he knows what's going on. And you can see that she brings two of the smallest coins available and drops them in. They wouldn't make any noise at all, or barely noticeable. But Jesus notices it. He sees it. And he reacts to it. He reacts in a strange way. And then he calls the disciples. It's like, hey, fellas, you have to see this. You know, and brings them over to give them a lesson, and a very important lesson. And if we read into chapter 13 just a little bit, if you glance ahead, you'll see that they marvel at the beauty of the temple. And they're not starting a new wing of the temple with the money that this widow put in, but possibly with all the money that the rich are putting in. And so the disciples, as they're moved by that beauty, the awesome nature of this temple, probably would be impressed that there are people who are funding that. Right? Ministries in the first century needed to be funded just like ministries today. Like Pitt Care and Trinity and our church and all of that. It all runs on funds. I told you I've been reading this biography of R.C. Sproul and reminded of Dora Hillman and how instrumental she was, not only with Ligonier Valley Study Center starting there, she gave the land and contributed heavily to that, but she and a small group of women really funded many of the ministries that we still enjoy in the Pittsburgh area. Young Life and Coalition. And all of that. It was a fairly small group of wealthy women that were writing the checks behind R.C. and John Guest and all of that. So there's that, but Jesus isn't paying any attention to those people at all. He's paying attention to this widow. And no doubt the disciples are confused by that, so he clears it up for them. He says, she put in more than they did. They gave out of their abundance. She gave all she had to live on. So he noticed. He calls attention to it. And he's struck by it. And he wants the disciples to see it. And he wants them to understand that God, there in the person of Jesus, doesn't look at things the way people do. Jeff Thomas is a Scottish pastor. I sometimes look at his sermons. I find things of interest in them. But he, in preaching on this passage, told a story. Said he had heard of this very wealthy man who used to go to church regularly, and each week he would take a penny and put it in the offering plate as he came in, because their offering was like ours now, you know, sitting out there on the table. And one day, He put in his penny, or at least he thought he put in his penny, and he got to his seat and was looking at his pocket and realized he had a gold sovereign and a penny, and he still had the penny. And so he took out the penny and went back to the offering plate. But there was an elder standing there watching over the offering plate. And he said, "Nay, Laird, you can put in whatever you will, but you can take nothing out." And so he argued with him a little bit about it and saw that he was getting nowhere. And so he said, as he went back to his seat, "Well, I'll get credit for it in heaven." And the man said, "Nay, Laird, you'll get credit for a penny." But the Lord sees what's going on. He's not fooled by false shows of religion. He saw the heart of the scribes. And he saw the heart of this woman. And he was moved by it. And he wanted to point that out to the disciples and teach them this important lesson. Now, what important lesson? Well, actually, there's three that I want to call your attention to in this. And first of all, though, before we I give you what I think are important points to draw from this, I want to mention one that I don't think is an important point to draw from this. Where so many people seem to go with this passage is right to talking about giving, right? And saying, here are lessons for us to, in our generosity and giving. And there's maybe a principle there. People were giving out of their abundance and she's giving more. But I don't think that's the main lesson of this. I don't think Jesus is calling us to give everything we have, at least financially. We're to give wisely, we're to give carefully, we're to give generously. You know, there's abundant places in the Scripture where we see principles of giving and how important it is that we acknowledge that all that we have and all that we are is God's by returning a portion to Him. But He doesn't ask for all of it. Right? She gave everything she had at the time. That's not our lesson. So it distresses me somewhat that so many people, you know, immediately go and talk about the principles of giving from this passage. As I say, I think you can fairly draw some understanding, draw some principles from it, but I think as you do that, you're distracted from the more important points here, which are these. First of all, that the Lord sees even small things and values them greatly. That the Lord sees even small things and values them greatly. I think that's an important lesson because certainly there are people who do great things for the Lord. And sometimes we can look at those and we can sort of trumpet those, if you will, and leave many of the people, the more average people, the less gifted people, the less wealthy people, the people with more time constraints or whatever, feeling like they have nothing really to contribute to the Lord, that they've been left out. You know, when the really important ministry is done, when the roll call of those who have served the Lord faithfully is given, they'll be hanging back with a sense of shame that they didn't do more and couldn't do more and couldn't offer more. And so I think this is an important passage because this poor widow can become your, if you will, patron saint. She offers a very small amount, and yet the Lord sees it, and He calls attention to it. He calls the disciples and say, you have to see this. You have to know about this. Here's something really precious. Here's something really valuable. Here's something really important. And I hope that can be an encouragement to you. If you're ever one who feels like there's really nothing I can do, and I've had people tell me that sort of thing. Often it's the older members of our congregation will say, well, I just can't give that much or I can't do much anymore. But the Lord sees your heart. If you're just praying, if you're just encouraging, if you're just doing what you are able to, the Lord sees that and is blessed by it and is honored by it. And I want you to be encouraged by that. Secondly, I want you to see that this poor widow is serving the Lord in the best way she can. And that's so important because it's really faith shining through tears. Her life is apparently not very good. She'd have reason, I think any of us would think, for bitterness. Right? Why isn't she bitter? She's a widow in a world where that was very difficult. And we're told she was poor in a world where that very much mattered, particularly in Jerusalem and particularly in the temple. No doubt the scribes were all about those people that were making the coin store noises in the trumpet boxes. And they wouldn't have the time of day for a poor widow. But Jesus did. He saw her faith. That despite adequate reason for bitterness, for anger, She trusts God. So there's trust shining through the tears as she comes and serves God. And I think that should be an encouragement to us also, isn't it? That when it seems like God has turned away, we sang that great Psalm 73. We can feel like that, can't we? We've all identified with that psalm. We see other people getting ahead, other people getting good stuff. And you say, surely I've served in vain. Surely God is not paying any attention to me. Surely God is neglecting me. God's not really doing his job. You know, his job of keeping me happy, of giving me all the good things that I want. Well, this woman didn't get good things that surely she wanted. She didn't want to be poor. She didn't want to be a widow. And yet her faith is strong. And she goes to the temple to honor God, to serve God the best way she could. And not only does he see it, but he honors it because he recognizes genuine faith. Not the hypocrisy of the scribes, but genuine faith. So, first is the Lord notices even the small things. The second is, even when it seems like God isn't on our team, isn't on our side, we have to cling to him in faith and continue to serve, trusting that his love is there, his care is there, his concern is there. Sometimes even more when we don't see it than when we do. And thirdly, this woman was all in. Right? All in. She goes and gives all that she has to live on. She was all in. They say, I don't think that's a principle of giving, but I think it's a principle of faith. The Lord is looking for us to be all in for him. There's the old illustration that I'm sure you've heard before, but here it is again. If you had a wonderful big breakfast today, you know, eggs and bacon. A chicken was involved in your breakfast. A pig was committed to your breakfast. And that's a difference. God isn't looking for people just to be involved in his church. He's looking for people to be committed. He isn't looking for people just to be involved in the gospel. He's looking for people to be committed, to be all in. And I think that's another reason why Jesus called the disciples and calls their attention to this widow, because he was all in for them, as he is all in for us. This is the end in Mark's gospel of Jesus' public ministry. From now on, he talks to his disciples only. He goes back to the private ministry. So he ends his public ministry by showing someone who was fully committed to the Lord, because he was fully committed to the Lord and fully committed to his people, fully committed to accomplishing our salvation. He was going to the cross, and Mark's gospel moves pretty quickly to that. And so we'll be following along with that, and Jesus on his way to the cross, where he sacrificed himself for us, where he laid down his life for us, where he really goes all in for us. And so surely our response needs to be such a deep gratitude. We say, yeah, Lord, whatever I can do. But we don't do it then out of a sense of obligation, which is why I don't like going to financial things with this particular story. Because it's about so much more than that. It's about the very essence of faith working out of gratitude. It's grace that should motivate. It's grace that should drive us. It's grace that should do it. Not, oh, well, let me figure out how much I should give so I could be like the widow. But let me find, how can I show true gratitude to the Lord for all he's done for me? How can I demonstrate a faith that's truly all in? I find this brief little story very encouraging. There's times I feel like I haven't done much and don't do much. But the Lord sees even the small things if it's truly from a heart committed to him. There's times where it's difficult to serve the Lord. I haven't gotten all the things that I wanted. This was not the life I ordered. And yet it's the life the Lord has given me. And I continue to trust Him and to serve Him, and you do too. And we need to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me, for really recruiting me for your team, and I'm all in. And there's days where it would probably be like the John Fogerty song, put me in, coach, I'm ready to play today, center field. And there's days when God says, this is your place, here on the bench. But wherever He puts us, we're all in, because we're on a great team, and we're there because Jesus recruited us, saved us, redeemed us. How grateful should we be? Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it is most encouraging to us. Help us to find that encouragement, that we might walk by faith, not by sight, and that we might serve by grace, not by law, that we might honor our Lord Jesus, who is all in for us, by being all in for Him. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.